you know, doctors, for instance. You know, people just rely on doctors. And, you know, you get to the doctor tell you, well, ain't nothing I can do. You just go home. We'll put you in hospice, you know, and there people lay. The doctor said, ain't no hope for me. Ain't no help for me. But when the doctor say no, God turns around and say, I told you in the beginning that it is so. There is help for you. I will deliver you out of all your affliction. I will be with you in all your troubles, whether the troubles that the enemies brought or some troubles that you inflicted on yourself. That's why he just said troubles. It don't make no difference what kind of troubles that you in. God said, I will deliver you from your troubles. And so we thank the Lord for that. And I do thank God for our pastor this morning. Man, Pastor was up there talking. I'm like, and I know where y'all went yesterday. And I'm like, man, boy, they laid Pastor out. She decked out this morning, man. I'm like, man, look at them shoes, boy. I'm like, look at, boy, she's stepping. High stepping, as Dad told me yesterday. Boy, man, y'all really did her up. And thank God for that. Thank the Lord for her allowing me to stand in her stead this morning to try to encourage you all, my brothers and sisters, and myself also, because, you know, this is, I believe, is for me first, you know, and then, you know, to those who would latch on and believe God for what we're trying to do here this morning. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, always, God, for allowing us, God, to handle your word. This is you that we're handling, Lord. You told the apostles, you said, touch me, handle me, see if it is me. And we thank you, Father God, that we are able, God, to handle your word, God. And as we handle this word, God, we are seeing that this is you, Lord. Oh, God, in the volume of a book, Lord, and we just thank you for it. And we pray, God, this morning, God, that your words, oh, God, will touch, God, and deliver this morning, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God one more good clap offering this morning. I'm going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, starting at verse 16. And I just pray that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, would just lead and guide me. And so, you know, when you sit before God, if you, those that know, if you sit, I don't care whether you're a preacher or what, when you sit before God, man, and God would begin to talk to you, have all kind of stuff that come to you. And so sometimes you just can't write fast. You can't keep up with them. And so I believe God wants us to depend on the Spirit to give us utterance in the time of need. God will give you what to say, Jackie, to that young lady, because it is needed. So many people are believing that they are in good standards with God. You know, God loves me. God do loves you. I mean, people are in all walks of life, whether it's homosexual or thieves, murderers, whatever is out there that's not righteous, people are, you know, they think they're right with God. You know, the people that walk before Jesus, walk behind Jesus, criticizing him and ridiculing him, they thought they were right with God. Apostle Paul, he thought he was right with God doing what he was doing. And so we need to really get in the word and sit before God. And when the word get down in you, that word will surface again. So we're talking about a rich man this morning. And we know this rich man, he had a whole lot of possession. Whether it's wealth, I mean, what it says wealth, whether it's houses, lands, or whatever. But we have also in our possessions a whole lot of things that are dear to us that we deem that's very, very important that can help us. So let's go to the Word of God and see what Jesus says about this here issue. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And Jesus told this young man that Why are you calling me good? You know, when you read that, you're thinking, well, Lord, you are good. But this man had to have some kind of revelation who Jesus was. He just wasn't a man. Because Jesus said, look, why are you calling me good? Ain't nobody good but God. And so you got to have a revelation that when you call somebody good, you're not calling this man good, that I'm talking about who I know who I'm talking about. You are God in the flesh. So I believe he had a revelation of who Jesus was. And he said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, what shall I do, to enter into eternal life? And Jesus started running down these laws, the Ten Commandments to him. And this young man said, all these things I have kept unto my youth. What lack I? First of all, what prompted him to ask Jesus, what one more thing I got to do? It's like he knew something that he was missing. Now I've done all of these here, Lord, up until my youth. Was he testing the Lord? I've done all of Jesus said, well, it's one more thing that you lack. And he's, I've done everything. And Jesus said unto him, if thou would be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. There's one thing that he said you lack. Well, Jesus said you honored your father, you honored your mother, you didn't commit adultery, you didn't bear false witness, you ain't stole nothing, but it's something else that you lack. This one thing, Jesus telling us that will keep us from getting where we trying to go. He's trying to get to the Father with this young man. Jesus, I know that you are who you say you are. But Jesus said, you can't get there because if you want to be perfect, those that are looking at this law, this written law, then you got to keep the whole law. You just can't love your mother and your father and honor them and drop off, stealing. You can't love your mother and your father and not love your neighbor too. You got to do all of the law. James said, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, if you break one of them, then you're guilty of them all. So he's saying, man, look, if you want to be perfect, keep all those other ones, but go and give what you got to the poor. But saints of God, Jesus wasn't even talking about those things. He wasn't even talking about the written law. Jesus was trying to make a point. And we're trying to make a point here is that it ain't what you do. It's not by the works of the law. Jesus knew that no man, none but himself can keep all the law. He knew it was impossible. God knew it was impossible for everybody to keep that law. That's why he said, look, out with the old. And then I'm going to give you a new law. The first law is to love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second one is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law. And he was talking about this morning about doing righteous. That's all God is looking for us to do is do what's right. Because all unrighteousness is sin. So you can't look at one point of the law and say, well, I ain't done that, or look at this part and say, I ain't done that, but you're still lacking one thing. That's what Jesus was saying to these churches over in Revelation. It's one thing that you lack. You left your first love. People are dependent on what they got. They're dependent on what support system they have, and they don't have Jesus' support system. I got my brothers and sisters support. That's good. But when they need support, where you going to go? I got my mom and my daddy's support. But when they need some support, where you going to go? All Jesus trying to say, look, man, you got to come and follow me and do as I tell you to do. And so he's saying, look, it ain't by what you do, because you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more of the heavenly Father, which is heaven, will give unto them that ask him the things that they have need of. So it's not by works, saints of God. It's not by what we've done. God has given us what we really don't deserve. Have you ever given somebody something what they don't deserve? Just ask yourself, have you ever gave somebody something that they didn't deserve? You know, it shouldn't be hard, because I give my children all their life some things that they didn't deserve. You know, I mean, people on the street, you know, you don't know what they deserve, but you know, I have to use my children as an example, because it's a great example, because we are God's children. And God, the law came by Moses, but grace and mercy came by Jesus Christ. God had to give us something that we did not deserve, and something that you cannot earn. You couldn't be good enough to do it. You can obey all the laws enough to get it. He said the gifts and the callings of God, they are without repentance. So ain't nothing that you can do that you say you deserve grace. So God said, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to give you something that you do not deserve. And I know I've given my children many things what they did not deserve. God said he treats us, our sins, we don't get treated as our sins says we're supposed to be treated. If you look at somebody's sins and, you know, look at your sin, look and see what you have done, and you deserve, hey, we deserve to be dealt with. But God said, I'm going to give you some grace. I'm going to give you some mercy. Your children deserve that spanking. They didn't deserve that good gift that you got them anyway on Christmas for their birthday. They didn't deserve them Michael Jordan tennis shoes. They didn't deserve those things, but, you know, out of the goodness of my heart, because I love you so much. God said, I love you so much, out of the goodness of my heart, I'm going to make another way for you. You can't keep that way, but I'm going to make another way for you. I'm going to give you some mercy, and I'm going to give you some grace. And so it is not that we can work ourselves in. This man was rich, and he had a whole lot of wealth. And Jesus knew that he was dependent on his wealth. He depended on what he got, what he have. Well, you depending on what you got. It may not be wealth. It may not be no houses. It may be your goodness. I did good yesterday. I didn't fuss at nobody. I almost did. But I held my peace. But I didn't kick the cat. I didn't get upset at my neighbor. I'm doing good today. But it ain't about what you do. It ain't about what you done did. Jesus said, look, you can depend on all that you have. But if you ain't depending on God, then you ain't depending on the right one. If you're not trusting in Jesus, you're not trusting in the right one. You got to trust in Jesus to get to where you're trying to go. If it's to work, you got to pray in the morning, Lord, get me to work. You just don't get up in the morning and say, well, I'm just going to get, you know, I'm going to work. And most of the time, some people do. They get up and just get in the car and start driving. They don't want to acknowledge God, but they riding on grace. They riding on mercy. They get to work. Folk going crazy. People coming in the job, shooting each other, but you made it out. They work. They're living in grace. They're living in mercy. And so he says, you got to keep the whole law if you want to be perfect. And the whole law, all Jesus is saying, you got to love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love the people that are in need out here. You got to love one another. And he says in verses, let's go to Matthew 19 and 20. Go down to Matthew 19, 24. me go up to 19 and 22. But when the young man had heard these sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciple, verily I say unto you, that a rich man can hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man enter into the kingdom of God. What is the Lord saying here? Huh? What God is saying? It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man enter the kingdom of God. There are so many sayings, teachings, beliefs about this eye of the needle into Jerusalem for the camels. But as I've heard that there was a gate that leads into that city for a camel to get through. But I had a problem with that. I said, Lord, what is the big deal about a camel going through that gate? He said it's easy for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. And some people believe that there is a gate that for camels to go through. But I said, Lord, that's not impossible. That's not something that's impossible. You know, and some people believe that, well, the camel had to stoop down. He had to get low and get down in there. I think the Lord is just using this as a metaphor. But also, y'all probably gonna think I'm crazy. I think Jesus was literally talking about a camel going through an eye of a needle. And I'm gonna explain myself on that. But he said the camels have to get low. And if they can't get low enough and they got this packages and all of the stuff that they carry, you know, men got to strip them off so they can get through there. So what's impossible? I said, Lord, what's impossible for that? You know, what's so hard about the camel doing that? But he said, well, some people just got to humble themselves like the camel do to get to where they're trying to go. And then sometimes, you know, I got to just strip you from everything so you can get in there. He said, but I believe. This is my belief. I believe that he was talking about literally, because I think he was using this as a metaphor, but I think the Lord was saying literally, y'all shout back at me on this or catch me after church, after service. I believe that Jesus was talking about that he has the power literally to shrink a camel and put him through an eye of a needle. I know y'all saying, Brother Al is crazy. Man, what's going on with him right now? But, you know, some people, you look at the athletes. Some people believe that a person that can hit a golf ball in that little cup, it becomes so easy for him in his profession that it's like for Tiger Woods, all the great golf, man, it's like hitting in the bowl. You know, it's just that easy. Or a basketball player, for him to shoot the ball in the basket, it's like shooting in the But what about God? What about his profession? Is it too hard for him to shrink a camel and put him through the eye of a needle? You probably say, well, what's the purpose of him doing that? To show you his power. That's all God trying to do. Look, I had the power to do what I want to do. He said, look, don't even think 1 minute to say, well, we are children of Abraham. He said, God is able to raise up stones, these stones here, as children of Abraham. So what's so hard with man? That's impossible. Man can't shrink a camel. Man cannot raise up stones to God. God just trying to demonstrate, look, I don't care how sorrowful that this man got. I got the power to restore him. I'm trying to show you who I am and whose I am. I am my Father's child, and I got the power to do just what I want to do. It's not impossible for them to do what they want to do in their profession. I believe God can do anything in his profession. What do God specializes in? God saved my soul. I thought that was impossible for man to do anything for me. Man couldn't save me. Man couldn't regenerate my heart. Man can't change my mind. I don't care how much you talk to me when I was out there in the world. I stood on the gates, listened to the church songs, and I even tapped my feet and knew some of the songs. But that didn't change me. Then I would walk and somebody would stop me in the store somewhere and begin to minister to me. I have respect and listen to them. I did one of my brother's numbers. They just sit me around the corner and say, go on there and talk to so-and-so, so-and-so. Tell my brother Ronnie, go down there and talk to Brother Ronnie, Brother Al, and I'll be out there talking to Brother Ronnie. Brother Ronnie be like, yeah, I hear you, Brother Al. All right. Okay, I got to get back to work. I'll see you later. But you know what? Man can't do that. It's impossible. He said, with men, this is impossible. But with God only, all things are possible. It take God to regenerate your mind. It take God to regenerate your heart. It take God to take you off Sarah Street and put you on Page Street. It take God to change your direction the way that you were going. Man can't do that. That's all he's telling them. I got the power. Yes, I can. I can shrink a camel and put him through the eye of a needle. If you don't believe that, then it is going to be hard for a rich man because you ain't going to go to him right. You're going to go to him condemning him. You got to give up some of this stuff. And, well, he don't want me to have nothing. Uh-huh. You got to give it up, brother. Jesus said, you got to sell everything you got now, you know, and just give it up. Come telling me that. When I was in the street, I'm going to say, well, get on out of here. That's why I got it and you don't. That's what the rich man probably was saying. But the Bible don't read what happened to the rich man. It just says he went away grieved and sorrowful. It don't tell the rest of his story. Jesus planted a seed in that young man. Jesus put a word inside of him and told him that if you want to be perfect, you got to give up what you depended on. God ain't telling us to be poor. No, Brother Al ain't telling you to be poor because I'm going to work some overtime next week. God wants you to have. A man don't work, he said, he won't eat. God said he blessed the works of the man's hand. So you got to work. But God don't want you depending on your stuff. This morning we was talking about a rest in God. God wants you to rest, have total confidence in him for what you need and your desires. You got some wants. I got some wants. I got some things that I want that I really don't, you know, per se this a necessity. But God will give you those too. He will give you the desires of your hearts if you delight yourself in him. So God is saying, look, he can do what he wants to do. God is able to shrink cancer. He's able to put the ligaments back together. God can do all things. It's nothing too hard for God. God was saying to Abraham and Moses, he's telling, look, I'm not telling you to believe in Abraham because the folk, they just believed in Abraham. They always talk about who they was attached to. Abraham. If it ain't Abraham, it was Moses. Nobody said that they was connected to Jesus. You know, Abraham. God didn't intend for us to believe in Abraham. He intended for us to believe like Abraham. He had no intention for us to believe in Moses, but he wanted us to trust like Moses. You got to do the same thing that they did. They had that rest. That's what that rest was, that a whole lot of them couldn't enter into his rest. You got to have total confidence. When I say total confidence, everything, confident in the Lord, everything. So God is telling us that, look, it wasn't Moses. It wasn't Abraham that provided the ram. God did. Moses didn't part the Red Sea. God did. Daniel, he didn't tame the lion in the den. God did. Huh? The three Hebrew boys, they didn't quench the fire. God did it. Whatever that we are looking for or our necessities, whatever that we need, God can do it. Because the things that we are waiting for, we've been waiting for and waiting for. We was talking about it, bro. Waiting and waiting and waiting, looking and praying. Let's first go back and make sure that we're not trusting in something else. Let's go back and make sure that we are loving like we supposed to. Let's make sure that we ain't got nothing against our brother and our sister. Reason why our blessings ain't held up. Make sure that you ain't been talking too much to hold up your blessing. Make sure you check yourself, because hope deferred, I just don't believe God gives us that hope. He don't give us that hope that is deferred. When you waiting and waiting, yes, some of us stay in the fire long, but God promised to deliver us out of them all. Every tribulation, all our afflictions. So if you just afflicted on top of afflicted on top of afflicted on top of afflictions on top of affliction, check yourself. Get down to the altar and ask God to search your heart. You know, help me, Father. You know, he wants you to believe like Abraham. He wants you to believe like David. God wants you to believe. It's okay to dance like David, but God's looking for people to believe him. That's why the church does not have the power. Talking to a brother yesterday, he said, man, just things are just different in the church now. I said, really? Over there too? Real different. It ain't like it used to be. But God won't. He don't want to restore us back to that norm. When people talk about, well, we'd be glad when stuff get back to the norm. I don't want to go back to that norm. That's not normal. Ain't nothing normal about what used to go on. I'm looking for that new thing that God promised us. We're looking for something new. You know, something that God can, somebody is someone God can raise up and use and turn things around and cause these people to repent. And cause them to love their neighbor. Cause them to love their husband and their wives. We got to make sure that this love that God is keep preaching us, preaching and teaching to us about, that is down in our heart. And it's just not a word thing. This love has got to be really in motion. When he told him, go back and sell all that you have. I ain't got too much to sell, but whatever God want me to do, Lord, you help me to do it. That's why we was praying the other, not long ago, I asked y'all to pray for us, me and Tawana, that we make the right decision about what we had. You know, I'm up here preaching and teaching our love. You know, Paul said, look, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. God ain't sent us out here with a pocket full of money, but he sent you out here with power. Power to raise the dead. Power to cast out devils. Power to heal the sick. But the people ain't looking for that power. They looking for the love of money. You know, give me some money. I ain't got no money. You know, I ain't going to turn my back on you and close the door. You can come and sleep on the couch. We'll make a pallet for you. You know, but money, if I had it to give, I would give it. Lord knows. But you don't give it foolishly. You got to be wise about what you really got to be seeking the Lord daily. But God is saying, look, don't trust in things. These things are temporal. They're not forever. They're not everlasting. God wants us to use these things. He wants us to, you know, he wants us to be lenders, you know, not borrowers. God don't want us to be beggars. You know, he wants us to be givers. God don't want you to be the tail, you know, always coming up in the rear. You know, I'm short. You know, if you coming up in the rear, you should be coming up in the rear with prayer. I got your back. Don't be coming up rear talking about just short all the time. This is happening. That's happening. And I ain't saying that, you know, nobody done nothing wrong. But God do not keep us hoping and never come alone. I just don't believe that. You know, I'm hearing people in this church with getting things that we're supposed to be getting what we're looking for. We're supposed to. If Jesus died for that, you know, he went through hell and went to hell. He did it all. He went through hell and went to hell to get what we're supposed to have. He got the keys, you know, to unlock some doors to what we need. And if your door's still locked, don't try to kick it in and ask the Lord, Lord, what must I do? You know, like Nicodemus, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Some got to be born again. Some got to repent. Some got to love their neighbors. You can't wait for folk to come to you and say, I'm sorry. I had to come to grips with that. They did me wrong. I didn't do nothing wrong. I ain't got no business saying, you know, apologizing. Nope. Mm-mm. Lord said, wait a minute. I heard him say, he that sitteth among you is greater than you. But the one that's greater among you is the least. And he is your minister. So you got to, and I ain't talking about preaching. You know, the one that's greatest among you is the, you know, he your preacher. No, you're supposed to humble yourself and be a servant. That's why I had to go to that lady when she got in my business. And I'm like, look, I'm telling you, I ain't got to never say nothing to you no more. You know, we was over here doing this thing right. And when I did that, the Lord said, now, you know, that ain't right. I said, Lord, you right. Got to have more thicker skin than that. Now, you done witnessed to this woman already in the past. What more can you say after that about me? I said, Lord, I got to make this. I can wait till tomorrow come. You know, don't wait till tomorrow if you can do it today. But I had to wait till tomorrow. And when I saw that woman, I made a beeline to her. I said, hey, I need to talk to you. She said, what's going on? No, she said, I've been waiting for this moment. Yes, she knew I was going to say. And she said, well, brother, I know that wasn't none of you. I know. That ain't, he must be having a bad day. But then she still apologized. Well, you know what? I shouldn't have got in your business and blah, blah, blah. I said, you know what? All of that don't even matter. I said, I beg your forgiveness. Please forgive me. Now, can I have a hug? She said, yeah, and we stuck side by side, hugged each other. Then she came around to the gas pumps again and started to pop. I said, look, that's over with. That's water in the bridge. I said, we're going to continue our relationship. You know, we union brothers and sisters. That's what we are. And so we can't wait. What I'm saying, I can't be waiting for her to come to me, you know, because she was wrong. I was wrong, too. And if I didn't say a word and knew that she had a problem with me, I got to go and at least reconcile this thing. You know, I'm sorry. I don't know if you're mad at me or not. You know, if I said something, you bring out everything. And even if you knew you didn't say nothing, if I said nothing, I know I didn't say nothing, but I got to put that in there too. You know, whatever I did, you go and be reconciled. You got to be a servant. You got to lay this stuff down because you the minister. Yes, you're going to minister words of life to them. You have that opportunity to minister words of life, and you can gain a brother and sister that was lost. You can get them back. So we can't wait till tomorrow. We can't depend on tangible things. We just got to depend on the word of God because it is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is a discerner of the heart and intents of the discerner of the heart and the mind. God knows what we have need of. And we need to depend on God for everything, saints of God. I don't care what your problem is, what your issue is, health issues, other issues. Is anything too hard for God? Ain't nothing too hard for God. But we got to bring it to him and believe that he is, because I don't care. My sister, she's going through another battle. Another battle. But my prayer ain't changing. It's not going to change. I'm still believing and telling her, say, by his stripes, you are healed. Let the sick say I'm well. You just keep on doing, but make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to do. Make sure you lining up with the word. You can't go against the grain and think things are going to be cutting right. You got to go with the word. You cannot go against the grain. the word of God. You got to go with them. When you're walking with the word of God, then things just going to start falling off. Things going to start lining up in your life. Not to say you ain't going to go through no test and no trial. You is going to go through a test. You're going to go through a trial. But when you go through something and you've been hoping and hoping, your heart has just been deferred, and it's just what you're looking for is ain't never coming. But when you start lining up with the word of God and you start praying and believing God, I don't care what the doctor say. I don't care what my brothers and sisters are saying. I'm just going to trust God. Then your desire is going to come. They're going to be a tree of life, the Bible says. Then the next trial is going to be so much more easier because you done found out that you can trust in God. You can trust him for the very impossible things. The very impossible things. You can trust him that he's got the power, all the power to do what needs to be done in your life. Not just your life, in my children's life, in my husband's life, in my neighbor. God got the kind of power that no other God has. He ain't Buddha. He ain't St. Jude. He ain't somebody that you can put up on a shelf or put in your back pocket and pull them out when you need them. God is with you. He said, I'm going to be with you until the end of the world. I'm going to always be with you. And so we ain't got to ask him, Lord, be with me. I'm with you. Ask me something else, Jesus said. He said, from this day forth, you have not asked me. He said, ask me. Don't be scared. Ask me that your joy may be full. And if you ask me and then believe, then your joy going to be full. I'm going to do it for you. Don't be scared. As we say, don't be scared. Ask me. I'll do it for you. But we don't want to ask because what if, how many times have you heard that? What if it don't happen? But what if it do? And you ain't asked. What if he don't come through? I know he'll come through for you, but not me. Well, that's a problem. That's a huge problem. How you going to believe? Just how you going to love me? Who you don't see and not love your brother who you see every day? How you going to believe for them and you can't believe for yourself? What we say this morning? Having a readiness to defend all disobedience, but once your obedience has been fulfilled, get it right in you first. Then you can go and start imparting some joy. Then you can go and start imparting some life into people. You got to have some life into you. That's why Jesus gave us life. He is the light of the world. He had life in him. We can't have no light without light. You can't have nobody healed if you ain't got no power in you. You ain't got no power of love. And Jesus is love, and he will light you up. And when people see you coming, they see you coming in love, they will be lit up. Here comes sister so-and-so. Here comes brother so-and-so. Man, I'm so glad you came. They light up when certain people come because it's something they see in you. It's not me. It's not you. It's the love of God inside you. So with this, even this, with man, it's impossible. Only God can give you that light. Only he can illuminate your life up. He has everything that you need. Everything. Job. Health. Wealth. He said he has laid up the wealth of the wicked for the just. You know, we supposed to have something. He's supposed to at least he calls men to give unto your bosoms. You know, maybe you can't work, but he'll cause men to come and knock on your door. Put you a check in the mail. God will do something for you. Just believe him for the very thing. Just don't get all bent, all out of shape when stuff starts to happen in your life. Get frantic like he was saying this morning, walking around like, I don't know what I'm going to do. You're supposed to know what you're going to do. You're supposed to know what you better be doing. You have to know what you do. I'm going to pray and ask God, and I'm going to rest. I told one of the sisters in this church one time we was talking. I said, we just got to rest. I said, don't be running around, this, that, and that. We just rest. And that rest is just faith in God. You ask him, believe, and go about your life. For you know it, the Deuteronomy 28 blessing will be coming up on you and overtaking you, be sticking you up and say, here your blessing is. I told you I was going to give it to you. It'll come to you. I ain't talking about something that I heard. I heard it first, because you got to hear it first before it happened. Because faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So when I heard it, I just believed it. And when I believed it, I put it into practice. And then here come the blessings come. Y'all know what I'm talking about. God is so good, he wants to bless your socks off of you. He wants to bless you, man, to no end. He wants to make your joy full. He don't want you coming in here sitting and not being able to praise him, because you ain't got what you were looking for yet. Praise him anyhow. You know, we sing all kind of songs. Man, I sing them in this congregation. I know you. Praise him in advance, because it's going to happen. You know, I was praying for when this woman started walking around here and said what she said. I started calling up, Lord, heal my wife. Heal Sister Didi. God, heal Brother Dad David. Touch pastors. Lord, I was just calling out everybody else's name. And then I had to stop and say, wait a minute. I'm listening. Because I got an issue that I'm waiting on God for. And I'm like, well, Lord, did you stop by here this morning? Did you stop by? Because you said you're going to heal somebody this morning. But God wants to do these things. He does. He wants to do these things. But we just got to be in a place in our heart and our mind. It ain't nothing else that you can do to get what you're looking for from God. You can't pray enough. Can't fast enough. All you can do is what Jesus said, only believe. It's as simple. I ain't going to make it hard for you. What? Say, my burden is light. That's light, to just believe. You know, your kids believe that you said that you might get them some ice cream. You ain't giving them no definite. God gave us a definite. There you go. I'm definitely going to bless you. I'm definitely going to be with you. I'm definitely going to supply all your needs. I'm definitely going to do that. But then we still have a problem. Lord, I don't know, because it ain't came yet. Maybe I need to do something else. No, you just need to rest. Go wash some clothes. You know, go cook a sweet potato pies past the same. Go find yourself doing something. And rest in God. Let God take care of this stuff. He said, look, I know what you have need before you ask. You know? I know you need your back healed. Just as long as you ask and believe and rest, I'm going to do it. As long as you ask, it shall be done. God bless you this morning, saints of God. I hope this morning that some of this word fell on good ground this morning. God is the God of all impossibilities. There is nothing. And we say that all the time. We sing it. But I say, Lord, let me mean what I say. I just don't want to get into no format. Come here and singing them good songs. I want them to mean something to me. I want them to move all up and down inside me. So when I leave this place, yes, Lord, I'm going to keep that. Help me to meditate on that word. So God is the God of impossibilities. There is nothing too hard for God to do. He said, but with men, this, what we're looking for, is impossible. But all things are possible with God. Stand to your feet. I'm finished. And I just want to pray. I ain't going to call nobody up here. I just want us to pray this morning to believe God. And I ain't saying, I ain't picking out nobody. I don't know nothing about nobody. To believe God for the very impossible things. You know, I know we got stuff going on in our lives. We are saved. We're sanctified. We're set apart for God. But there are others that are attached to us that if the Lord come and crack this sky tonight, they will be lost. You know, people are just slipping. I mean, just they ain't going down that slippery slope like you was talking about. It ain't got deep yet. It's still shallow. They just slipping and slipping and slipping. Before you know it, they'll wonder, how did I get here? You know, but God is still able. They get all the way down there to the bottom. God is still able. He'll deliver them. Yes. God saves from the utmost to the gutmost. I don't care how low they get. He still do, but you still try to prevent them from going down a slippery slope, as the brother said this morning. Come on, lift your hands this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you for your word, God, and we thank you for, Lord, just reminding us that you are the God of all impossibilities. Can't nobody do what you can do, Lord. Lord, we cannot trust nobody like we can trust you. So, Father, I'm asking you, Lord, to bless, Father God, each and every one in this congregation and everyone, God, that is connected to them, their children, their grandchildren, their husbands, their wives, Lord. I'm asking you, Father God, to touch them this morning, God. Oh, God, that they will know and understand, God, that there is nothing impossible for you to do, God. We ask, Father God, that you will restore, God. Restore relationships, Lord. We ask, God, that you restore, God. Restore relationships back with you, Father. We ask him that you would restore jobs, Lord. Restore health, Father God. Restore, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. We just bless you this morning, God. And I pray, Father God, that you would just meet every need, God, in this place. Let them, God, trust you. Let them call upon you, God. And God, in this time, God, when things are getting tougher and tougher, God, help us, God, to raise that eyebrow and say that I know that he's still able. In Jesus' name, amen. There be nothing else. Anybody got anything past you? If there be nothing else.